But in Christ, we are redeemed from the curse. And in Christ, instead of everything that's good happening to us turned to junk, His promise to us in Romans 8:28 is this: all things, say all things. All things work together for what?
Good.
For good to those who are the called, to those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. We are redeemed from utility, and now our life has meaning. It has purpose. It has lasting, substantial, significant value. And everything you do brings a reward in eternity. I got to speed up or we'll never get through this. Number one, sins are forgiven. Number two, redeemed from the curse. Number three, relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That is priceless beyond measure, because Jesus is not just some dusty old religious historical figure from a storybook somewhere. He is the Alpha and Omega, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All things were made by Him and for Him. We find our meaning for our existence in Jesus Christ. This entire cosmos, this universe was created for Him and for His glory. And to say that we can know Him intimately, deeply, passionately. We said, man, I'm a friend of God. It's freaky. It's mind-bending that God would condescend to love me. I'm amazed that my wife loves me sometimes. But God? Praise God. And that's no slam on Missy. I'm just, you know, I have good days and bad days. Sins forgiven, redeemed from the curse, relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Number four, His favor and blessings on our life. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. We can wake up in the morning excited because God has a plan for us. Number five, the peace of God about the future, freedom from guilt about the past. You don't have to live in torment and fear and anxiety anymore about what's coming down the road. You don't have to live in bitterness and regret and remorse about what happened in the past, because it's all been reconciled and our future is in the hands of God. He has a destiny laid out for us. We'll see that more in a minute. Number six. Benefits of following Christ, His Holy Spirit to give us a new heart and power to live a holy life and to love others. When I was not saved, I wanted to live for God sometimes, but I found it would last for about 2 or 3 days and I'd be back to my old self. But when we get saved, we get a new heart. God literally comes by His Holy Spirit into our spirit and makes us a new creature in Christ, and it gives us the power and the desire to do the things that please God. He literally changes us from the inside out. Number seven, if that's not enough, anointing and power, tangible power from on high by the same Holy Spirit, and a taste of the powers of the age to come. Hebrews says that when we are worshiping God and all of a sudden we sense His Holy Spirit just descend upon us like a mantle, and we feel that tangible power of God upon us, that is just a foretaste, man. That's just like a sip. Of what we're going to be drinking from, of what we are going to be guzzling when we get to heaven. A taste of the powers of the age to come. Literally, that's what the Bible says. We have tasted the powers of the age to come. So if we have a taste, that's our down payment for what's coming in the future. That's our guarantee that it's coming. Number eight, spiritual gifts and abilities by the same Holy Spirit. Where you're doing something in the middle of the day and all of a sudden God's voice speaks to you in the depths of your heart and says, John, you better pray for so-and-so. Or John, you better not go down that road. You better take this other road. Or John, blah, 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 or whatever it happens to be. That word of wisdom, that word of knowledge, that intuition from the Holy Spirit, and then the ability to speak it out, to speak blessing into other people's lives, to literally say to them, John, brother, I'm just going to bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May He prosper you abundantly, brother. And then, amen. Yeah, he's like, I'll take that. What the heck? And then see God bring that to pass in someone's life. That is just, oh, it's thrilling. Number nine, fulfilling your destiny laid out for you from before the world began. Life is not a random series of events. God has actually laid out a destiny with your name on it. And He wants you. He deeply desires that you inherit all that He has laid out for you to do. He has called you with the purpose. And He has actually laid out people that you're to meet, places that you're supposed to be. And when we're in Christ, He guides us through His Holy Spirit so that we fulfill all the destiny that He has laid out for us. I don't want to miss my destiny. I don't want to wind up on the dump of this world from having missed what I was called to do. I want to be there in the winner's circle, man. I want it all. Number 10. We become part of a new family, a body of believers who love us and pray for us and encourage us. I love you guys. I mean, I love you guys. I love you guys.
Love you too, man.
And I'm not just saying that because, you know, I'm the pastor, I'm supposed to say that. You know, or I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to say that. You guys mean so much to me. I can't imagine what life would have been had I missed this amazing experience of being a part of this church, this body of believers who has loved on me and Missy, who has loved our family, who was, when we were dirt poor, would bring food or clothes or money or different things and just put it in our car anonymously so that we would be blessed by it. Who has cried with us and laughed and rejoiced with us, who has hoped with us and worked with us and prayed for us and encouraged us and allowed us to do that for them as well. To miss that, this is priceless. There are multitudes of people. I meet people almost every day who say, you know what, I really don't know anybody. I don't have any friends. I just, you know, my family is gone and I'm so alone. I'm so alone. And God says to us today, that's not my desire for you. I designed you to thrive on fellowship. I designed for you to thrive in relationship. And I have given you my body, the body of Christ, to love on you and to be loved by you. You can't buy that. That's glorious. Oh, man, I'm getting chills, man. I'm just going to turn into a goosebump up here. Man, and if all that wasn't enough, just kind of a side benefit, just in case, you know, and just a little bit more unction, just to seal the deal, as it were. Number 11, when you die, you go to heaven instead of hell. I mean, you know, it's a little thing, but sometimes it makes a difference for some folks. You know, frankly, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I have studied extensively about hell, and all my learning has taught me that I don't want to go, you know? If I take nothing else away from that, I know this, I want to go to heaven instead. Eternal life in paradise, enjoying the fullness of the glory of God. The Bible says that in His presence there is fullness of joy. Oh, man. You know, praise God. To escape from hell is glorious in itself, but to go to heaven instead is just mind-boggling. And what I'm about to say is subjective. I have had maybe a half a dozen times in my life throughout the course of my 51 years.
71.
I look great for 71, don't I?
Not really.
At very rare points in my life, maybe a half a dozen times or less, I have seen what I believe in my heart of hearts was a glimpse of heaven. I think God, and it was only a microsecond long, as God is my witness, I'm sitting here, it was a flash, it was like, and it was gone. Just a flash in my spirit, and usually it was a scene, like a nature scene of something, either a field or trees or something like that. And it only happened for a microsecond. I mean, it was just, bam, this flash that pierced my soul. And I, as God is my witness, it would rock my world. It would stop me in my tracks. The last time it happened, and it hadn't happened in years and years, the last time it happened was the moment Doris died. I was in the parking lot with Dave Beecher, and I didn't know that happened. And as I was sitting in the car in prayer, not only I felt the Holy Spirit on me, but there was that microsecond flash and I saw this field with the tree. I mean, it was just like, bam. But it rocked me so hard because in the depths of my soul, there was such a deep desire to be there. There was this attraction that I can't even explain in human words, as though I were made for that place, that that was home. It was the home that I have yearned for all of my life. And I think the very reason it only happens for a literal microsecond is because it rocks my world so hard when that happens that I don't think I could stand it. If it was any longer than that, I don't think my human frame could feel that. It would kill me. It would take me there. But when those moments have happened, there was a witness in my spirit that that was where I was made to go. That is home. When I get there, I'm going to be home like I've never been home in my life. And I will never have to leave there again. Oh, how my heart aches for that place. And you know what the beauty of that place really is? I believe it's Jesus Christ. Heaven without Jesus is just another place. But because the unveiled presence of the glory of Christ is there, that whole place, it says in the Bible, it doesn't even need the sun because it's illuminated by Christ. That's what my heart yearns for. The day I got saved, I realized Jesus was the one who I was looking for all my life. All my life. And when I look at all these benefits, it would seem to me that they far outweigh the cost, whatever it costs to follow Him. Let nothing in this world stand between me and that place, between me and my Savior, because that's where I'm headed. All right. We said there's a cost to follow Christ. There's a greater cost for not following Him. But. Before we go and look at the cost of not following Christ, we just want to give a balanced picture. I don't want to lead you astray. Let's be real. Let's look at the benefits of not following Christ. Amen? Is there any benefit to not following Christ? Ooh, that's a trick question. It's not really. Actually, yeah, there are. There are some benefits for not following Christ. Let's take a look at them. Number one, you're not persecuted for Christ. No one's going to, you know, cast your name out as being evil because you're a Christian. No one's going to exclude you from a party because you're a party poop and a Christian, all this kind of stuff. Of course, there's no guarantee that everybody's always going to love you either. You could not follow Christ and people could still hate you. In fact, I have folks coming up to me. I have one guy in my neighborhood. Every time I see him, he says, "John, would you pray for me? I don't know. These people in my life, they're just a bunch of idiots, man. They don't treat me right. I just want to slug them. I just want to hit them in the head one time." Last time he said, "I want to cap the guy." And I'm like, "Dude, man, you don't." Yeah, I thought so. So number one, benefit of not following Christ, you won't be persecuted for it. But it's no guarantee that people won't hate you anyway. You'll always have idiots in your life. There is just an endless supply of morons out there. I repent. I'm sorry. That's just not right. God says don't call a man a fool. So I repent. But you know, if you're a moron, everybody else will seem like a moron anyway because they just won't go your way. So, well, you may not suffer persecution, but you know it's no guarantee you're not going to butt heads with people anyway. Okay, number two, benefit of not following Christ, you will be able to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, particularly sexual sin and intoxicants, drugs, alcohol, and that kind of stuff. Okay? Hebrews 11 says this, that when by faith, when Moses, when he became old enough, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know how they snatched him out of the water and they put him in Pharaoh's daughter's house? You know, do you all see Charlton Heston, the Ten Commandments, blah, blah, blah? Okay. When he became a man, he refused to stay in that position, and he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Is there pleasure in sin? Yeah. Do these things feel good? Yes. Let's not fool ourselves. There's a reason why people are tempted to sin. It's because it can be fun for a season. I will testify as a pastor that the wake of destruction it leaves sometimes is horrendous. And I have cried with people in my office over the destruction that sin has left in their life until they were literally beside themselves in regret. And if they could do anything in life, they would, if they could change those decisions, they would give anything to make a different choice. But for a season, you are able to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Number three, benefits of not following Christ. Sleep in on Sunday. Well, heaven, sleep. If you can sleep. If you can sleep.
But you probably have a hangover.
Yeah.